بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. Shahr ibn Hawshab is a great muhaddis, someone was speaking out against the Sahaba in his presence. So he asked him, do you belong to the Muhajirin? No. Do you belong to the Ansar? No. So when you don't belong to the Muhajirin and the Ansar, it is just the last group that you can think about. And that last group is وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, those that followed the Muhajirin and the Ansar, but with the provision بِإِحْسَانِ, they followed them beautifully, with beauty, with respect. If you want to speak out against any of them, then you will be excluded from this third group also. You will be thrown out completely. Now, this verse has got too much, this وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ has got too much packed in it. جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ refers to that group who came after. After who? Muhajirin and Ansar. So now, who are the Muhajirin? The Muhajirin are the forerunners. They started the whole thing. So first, try and understand them. Understand the difficulties, the hardships, and whatever they had gone through. You understand them, you appreciate them. That's why there's a need to learn or read the seerat of the list of some Sahaba Kiram, what they went through. Right. The type of difficulty, just because of Islam. No other, there's no crime, nothing, absolutely. The crime is they worship Allah Ta'ala, that's the crime. So because of that, what happens in one situation, they are ostracized, boycotted. And the entire tribe, everybody boycotted them. They won't marry them. They won't provide them with any food essentials. Not care about their children, infants. Absolutely, absolutely. Not for one day, or one month, or 2 months. For 3 long years. And that starvation comes to that point. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, it happens to be the respected Nabi, the respected of uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, says, I was walking out and I saw a piece of leather, skin, you know, skin of an animal, and I picked it up. I washed it, then I dried it, and then I burnt it on the stove, crushed it, and that was my food for 3 days. This is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who later becomes the conqueror of Persia, right, whose du'as are answered, and who is the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The forerunners of Islam, Muhajirin, understand what they did. Al Bilal radiallahu anhu's sufferings, everybody knows about. Umayyah ibn Khalaf is his master. Just because of his Islam, he is dragged on the scorching sands. A boulder is placed on his chest that he can't move, whilst the sand is burning from underneath. You forsake your religion. No crime. He's got no social status as such as Bilal. He's a foreigner coming from Abyssinia. No social status. But he's as firm as a mountain. Nothing shifts him. Do as you please, but no, you're not going to turn me away. So that these are the forerunners, starters. Then you get a situation where Sahabi women are tried out. Sumayya radiyallahu anha is killed just on account of iman. No guna. What crime you committed? No crime. So there's absolutely no crime, and they are being persecuted, killed for no other reason. The respected daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab radiyallahu anha, and she's allowed to leave Makkah Mukarramah. But no, why must she leave? Someone goes and prods her animal while she's expecting. She miscarriages, and in a few years thereafter, then she passes away because of this injury. So all these difficulties, difficulty upon difficulty, difficulty upon difficulty. Someone is being poisoned. Someone is being tied on opposite ends to two different camels. One camel on this side, one camel on this side. Opposite ends, his body is tied, and the animals are made to run on opposite direction. Person's whole body is ripped into two. Everything can be endured. Everything. Why do you accept Islam? But now this is the forerunner. Now, when they are the forerunners, then we are indebted to them. Understand, we are indebted to them. What they have done for Islam, we are indebted deeply, deeply we are indebted to them. Whatever Islam we have got, it's because of them. Right? They laid the foundation and they set the whole thing up. We are here just to enjoy. We compare our works, our sacrifices to this. It's like just enjoyment. Like, you know, man, he set up the shop, it's running, he's got an anchor tenant, everything's got, everything's set out. He worked very hard, night and day, he burnt himself, he put up the shop, everything. But when there's a beautiful return that's coming, all right, now, this is yours, take it. All you have to do is just to receive the rental, nothing else. Just acknowledge, look after it a little bit, sustain it, and continue. So that's the Sahaba Kiram, and this is we. So now what are we supposed to be doing in the face of this? The more we appreciate them, the less it is. So we go on appreciating. See, when we enjoy a blessing, then we want the goodness of that blessing to continue. It's last. Right? We have a blessing and we want it to continue. It's run. So Allah also wants that blessing of yours must continue. It mustn't end up. La tubtilu a'malakum. What a work. What a deed. Now, how can you allow the goodness of the work to continue? You don't want it to stop at any point. So, the Quran has illustrated about 3-4 pointers. Look at these things here. You look after these things here, inshallah, and the goodness of your work will continue. One is, لا تبتلوا أعمالكم بالمن والأذى. Don't destroy. See, one is to earn, and thereafter that wealth must sustain you. To earn, and then that wealth must sustain you. It's two efforts. You can't say, I've earned it now, it's enough. No. Now that wealth, you have to maintain that wealth for that wealth to sustain you. So you're earning sawab, and then that sawab must sustain you. That is why you see in the Quran Sharif, Allah says, من جاء بالحسنتي. You must bring the good, not just earn the good. One is just earning, finished. Not by bring it, preserve the thing, and then bring it. Can you see this verse? من جاء بالحسنتي فله عشر أمثال. You have to bring the thing. You earned it, and then you lost the thing. So then how are you going to present it before Allah Ta'ala? You earned it very well. But the Quran is saying you brought the thing. So one way to destroy is bilman. Man means to impress upon others, to impress upon others about your generosity. You did some good, so again, remind us of your generosity. You impressed upon him, you know, it's my ihsan, it's my good that I've done. So this is one way to destroy the good that you've done. You've done it, now don't talk about it. Don't give reminders of your generosity. You've done it for Allah Ta'ala, then what's the need for you to remind that person? There's no need to remind. You did it for Allah Ta'ala. When it's for Allah Ta'ala, then why are you asking him for the reward? If it was for him, then you are rightful in asking him for the return. But when it's done for Allah Ta'ala, then why are you asking him for the reward? So لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن. See, one of the areas which you have to guard in order to preserve your good deeds. The second thing that the Quran Sharif is talking about that will destroy bilmanni wal adha. Right? Adha is to hurt anybody. It's minor or major, right? Whichever way, but you hurt someone. Therefore, Al-Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah's statement is quite popular. He says, on the day of Qiyamah, when you appear, right, then not a single deed is to the level of the splendor and the majesty of Allah. No, your deed, or as much as it may be, but is not in proportion to the splendor, the majesty, and the azmat of Allah. Then how will Allah throw people into Jannah? How will he send them to Jannah? He will send them to Jannah, tell us, this person saw you, you made him laugh. He cheated you, you forgot about it. That person abused and insulted you, you just ignored it, right? Just forget, you forgot. Mustafa Rahmatullah should give a story of a youngster quite often. That a janaza was passing and was being supported by three men. Fourth handle was being supported by a woman. So one youngster saw this, he told his woman, who's this son of my son? Now this is my son, and people had been looking at him with contempt. Perhaps because he had a natural deformity, and because of that deformity, natural deformity he had, so they looked at him with contempt. Like how nowadays this someone got the virus now. Allah save us. This thinking here, Allah save us from it. So they kept away from him, they used to ridicule him, they used to embarrass him, run him down. So this is what the woman says anyway. So he helped the janaza, buried it, and as the procedure, made dua, etc. At night, seeing the same youngster is in a very high level of Jannah. Very high level of Jannah. Palace, whatever, smiling, excited, too beautiful, right? So he's wondering now, why this is how people looked at you, and this is where you are. You belong to this level of Jannah. Yes. Allah Pak has blessed me because of the fact that I endured all the insult, the abuse, the aggression, everything. They said a lot of against me. I said, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I just said back, I didn't say anything. I had a tongue to answer. I had brain to also formulate some good returns. Could do everything. But for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I just held my peace. I didn't say anything. Let them insult, let them swear, let them abuse. But for the sake of Allah, I just kept quiet. So, for this patience of mine, Allah Pak has rewarded me. This is the return for the patience. He says, "Yuwaffas sabiruna ajran." This patience is about the only deed, right? The only deed which Allah Pak says, bighayri hisab. Every other action that you come on the day of Qiyamah, every action, then it's being measured and given. So many namaz are measured, take the sawab, go. You gave sadaqah, right? How much you gave, measured and given. But as for sabr, patience, endurance, you held yourself, either from haram, either from back chatting, giving it to the next person, right? Either for becoming impatient in a problem or in a calamity, but you held on just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it was a calamity, business went down, but you're still happy with Allah Ta'ala. Friends have turned away from you, you still held on. They are sulky and they're not showing the welcome that they used to show once upon a time. So with all, whatever, but you just held on. Just held on. Ibn Atta Iskandari says, your friend is not that person that is with you at good times. When you're in good, then they're around, right? But when things begin to melt away, then they also melting away. Then that's not your friend. When it's good around, then they are with you. Well, the pious person, but now the man is melting away, he's going down. He's going down right to the gutters. So the one that is with you at that time is Allah. In any situation, but he's with you. You're right down, you know, doldrums, right, the gutters. But he doesn't forsake you. He still say, come on, you know, come on, just rectify, just put this thing, just adjust this thing, come. I'll still take you on. No matter what you are, you still got a chance. You see the grace, the compassion, the love. Yeah? No matter who you are, but he still takes you on. It's Allah Ta'ala. So the friend is Allah Ta'ala. Or the Allah Walas. Allah or Allah Walas. The friends of Allah Ta'ala, the real, real friends of Allah Ta'ala, they also will not forsake you, no matter what you are. Whatever you are, a drunkard, whatever you are. But they don't want to drop you. See, there's a chance for you still. Maybe they don't join you in the club and all that, but they will not forsake the friendship for you. See, you've got iman, you've got a drop of iman. But I still love him, no matter what he is. He comes, I will welcome him, I'll be for him. So this person says, you know, that they forsake me, they forsook me, they were aggressive, they insulted, they abused for the deformity I had. Right? Perhaps here, one is, you know, you become a bisexual, that's a different thing, that's haram, you know. And one is, naturally you are born like that, with both sexes, born like that. Now, because of this natural deficiency, in the old days, in Gujarati, the old world, they talk, if someone had that, you know what they would say? I fall teacher. Abhurta Vilas? I fall teacher. So, they never run him down. So, this is the reward for them. So Muhammad Ilyas Sarabha says that for all this, you know, this weaknesses and all that, people insulted, abused, they spoke out against you, you just hold for the same. So on account of that, Allah Pak will reward you. You're listening, the smile, you're not back chatting, nothing. Someone is shouting, someone is doing something else, carrying tails, whatever. But for the sake of Allah, they say, no, hey, maaf, man, forget it. My Ustad, Mr. Rahman Sahib, the great Arif of Allah Ta'ala. So these people, they seem to be very simple, but what they say is too deep. So he says, you know, the point he brought on here, he says, people say, no, I'll catch him. So you're going to go to Jannat, and you're going to go to Jannat because of his action, or your action, or because of the grace of Allah Ta'ala. إِلَّا أَيَّتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهِ. See where his mind went. See that. An ordinary person, Hafiz Sahib, but you see, on account of that righteousness, association with righteousness, Lama gave that understanding. How can you say, I'll catch him? I'll take his jannat away. Right? You know what's going to happen there? What's your position on the day of Qiyamah? As though you feel now, you know, you secured your place, and you're going to take his place away. Are you secure about yourself? So he says, you're going to go in only on account of the grace. So if you had been gracious, then you'll be gracious. Irhamu man fil ard, that's what he's saying. You'll be gracious, and Allah will be gracious. Irhamu man fil ard, yirhamkum man fis sama. So, inconveniencing. You did a lot of work. You get a lot of hadith about this. Man came on mountains of deeds, but he abused this person. He robbed that person. He insulted that person. So now, on the day of Qiyamah, all your good deeds are taken, passed on to him, and your good deeds are taken, passed on to them, and their wrongs are passed on to you. So you earn so much, but all your good is passed on, and their evil is passed on to you. Bil manni wal adha. That's the second area which destroys the good that you've done. You've done good, but now it's destroyed, all wiped out. As though that currency is now cancelled. Can you do anything with it? Currency got cancelled now. You got stacks of it. Stacks of currency. But the thing is absolutely cancelled. You can't do anything with it. You heard the history of Burma. People had cash. You know, cash. See this? Oh, that garage there. Like, garage door. That whole area stacked with notes from the ground. Right to the ceiling, stacks, pile. Overnight, the government declared that currency is cancelled. Can you imagine what it must have done to people? In India, some currencies were cancelled about 2 years ago, right? And there are so many cases of suicide. You have stacks and stacks of notes, and the currency has been all cancelled. What are we to do with it? It's more of suicide. See, so the second area, it brings about a destruction to your amal, right? So there's two sides to it now. One side is to make that amal, to do that amal. And the other side of it is to preserve it. Don't think it's just one-sided. One side of it, it's to make do, and the other is to preserve. And both are important. To do also is important, and to preserve also is important. Sometimes it's just one word that you said. And one word, it just cancels everything. One word of yours. I often say, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi, he quotes the story of the Bani Israel. You know? So there are two friends. One is a very righteous person, and one is a gunegar, outright sinner. Right? So this righteous person advises his friend, "Now wake up now, come on, come right." So he said, "All right, leave it now." He advised me, kept on advising. Khallini wa Rabbi, leave me to Allah Ta'ala. Now this righteous person got frustrated. You know, Allah will never forgive you, never send you to Jannah. Both left the world, and both left the world. Allah Pak asked the righteous person, "Are you responsible of my maghfirat? Are you in charge? Are you responsible for my jannat? Then how could you make my banda despondent when you're not in charge of maghfirat? You are in charge, it's a different thing, but you're not in charge. Who gave you the right to make my banda despondent of my jannat and my maghfirat?" So now you go to Jahannam, and you, because you had the hope in my mercy, I've forgiven you, go to Jahannam. See that? So, Mahmudal, he makes a note there. أَنَّهُ تَكَلَّمَ بِكَلِمَةٍ أَوْبَقَتْ بِهَا دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتَهُ. One word he said, and as a result of one word, he destroyed both dunya and akhirat. He destroyed, lost everything gone. See the use of the tongue. We take it so casual, just say it, finish, or just, this is also a tongue, you know. The fingers are also tongues now. We just say it, we don't think much about it. But the damage that we are causing. See, the Quran Sharif says, مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيبٌ. One word. But there is an angel ready. Raqib. Raqibun Atid ready. Raqib is watching. What you said. And the. So sometimes what you're saying is true. But was it the appropriate thing for you to say it? What you're saying is right. But was it the right thing for you to say? As Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullahi says, see, when you talk, instead of saying Pan Bichar, you know, keep thinking. So you can't just blurt out someone speaking the truth. You can't get away with that. Sometimes your intentions are false, wrong. Sometimes it's not appropriate for you to make those statements at that time. So the Sheikh Sadiq Hamza says that one person is sentenced to death, right, in a Chinese court. In a Chinese court, and he's sentenced to death. So now, this person that is sentenced, he's a foreigner. So they give you a chance to say what you want to say at the end. You know, right? You're coming to the end now. Is there anything that you wish to say? They give you a chance. In India, one person was being sentenced, right? So, as he's being sentenced to death, so he says that this person is also guilty. He also was a party to the crime. So they apprehended him, and they say they pass sentence against him. What was the premise? The premise was, they say, that the person that is on the death row, as he's about to be sentenced, he can't speak a lie. Whatever he'll be saying will be the truth. On that premise, they sentence this person also, that now he passed sentence against you. So, one Muslim stood up and says, that premise is wrong. It's baseless. Because if it was right, and he's on the death row, right, ask him, are you guilty of the crime? He must be given, offered equal opportunity, because you say now, if the person is right at the end, then there can be only truth that will come out of his tongue. So if it is so, then ask him, are you guilty of the crime? If there's a confession, right, take it. But otherwise, then there was the English law, and a Muslim, ordinary Muslim, had challenged him. And the quick case was thrown out of the court. See, Hamara Hindustan. The ulama and the Muslims then did a lot of work. Because I think their minds went warped with secular education. But they could think very sound. Very sound, they could think. And they could throw the case out of court. There was a case between Sunni and the Shia. So a Sunni killed a Shia. So the Shia, they have this tabarra, you know, where they speak out against the Sahaba Kiram. So they have an occasion, and at that they speak against a lot of filth against Sahaba Kiram. So one Sunni couldn't see it, and he killed the person, Kalas. Came to court. So the Shia advocate says, see, Your Honor, as long as the English judge, Your Honor, will have ensured us religious freedom. So this is our religious right to speak out against the Sahaba Kiram. So when it's our religious right, it's our right, and he's depriving us of our right. So the Sunni defense system, ordinary person. But look at them. See how bright they were. Not warped with circular. Clean, pure, proper thinking. So the Sunni defense says, yes, that was his right, his religious right, to speak out against the Sahaba Kiram. It's our religious right, that if someone speaks out against the Sahaba, I must kill him. All right. And you ensuring it's enshrined into the constitution that religious freedom. So now, honor this. They'll throw the case out of the court. See, they couldn't do anything about it. Because they said that the religious right, religious freedom. So if it's yours, then it's mine. So this areas by which your deeds become cancelled. Done so much, so much, so much, and then your deeds get cancelled. So that areas have to be, you have to take care of it. Right? The third thing where you need to take care, right, and which can affect you, is not taking care of the urine. Now, in taking care of the urine, sometimes someone becomes paranoid, that's wrong also. That someone will say, there I put cotton right inside. Now, then you get another problem, then you have to go to a urologist and all that. Don't do all that. Average level of precaution. Average level of precaution requires that you don't just wash and get up straight away. You got up, but now there's something left still in the passage, right? There's something left in the passage. And if it's left in the passage, then you have to make some movement, and that which is left, that residue that is left in the passage, that will leave. When that leaves, now you make your husband now. But without waiting for that residue to leave, and straight away you jump up and you go, or you're shooting that urine so fast, splashing on you. So this not taking care of urine, this is what happens. Right? That's the third area, right? And the fourth area that is now like the virus of this day, is istighfaf, but not showing importance to the law of Allah Ta'ala. So what? Masjid, so what? That is, wo bhi ghar hai, ye bhi ghar hai, kya? Isme kya? Kaun si badi baat hai? Me gusto aur ek baat, so what's so important about it? So you see this istighfar, you're taking dini things very casual. Very, very casual, not concerned about it. Well, someone was telling me that someone sent a false, fake news from the majlis side. Right? Fake the news from the majlis side. Now, I see, Kul abillahi wa ayati wa rasuli kuntum tastahzi'un. You make a mockery of deen. The other things you can make a mockery of, make a joke maybe with your wife or someone, it's a different thing. But with Allah Ta'ala, things pertaining to Allah Ta'ala, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where's the iman? Well, sometimes you begin to feel iman be here, isn't it? Do they have iman in the heart? You don't make a mockery of these things. Take it so casual. See, the words that you utter, this making a mockery, right? Or preferring something that is not Islamic, right, to an Islamic value, comparing a kufr thing to an Islamic thing, and giving preference to this kufr thing to this Islamic thing, right? You can't do these things. You're looking at a Muslim woman and the way she's dressed, but look, it's so shabby looking. See, it's funny how it's looking. How neat and presentable. So that is shabby. Someone is talking about the beard. But this is a filth, man. Dirt. So now, that's a dangerous one. Where you're making a comparison of an Islamic value against a non-Islamic thing. And you can ruin everything. Just one word, two words, and everything will be lost. That is more time someone says. People are very scared about the last moment, and rightfully you need to be scared. What's going to be your state, right? How you will leave the world. So he says that when I just graduated, so my father's request was that I go and teach. So I went to Kanpur 15-20 years. The reason was that he says that I don't need you to teach, financially I'm strong enough, but the kitab that you have learned, you must get it grounded very well. You see, so one is you're learning the kitab, and one is you have to teach it. So teaching it, you really ground yourself. You have to put into that person's maghaj whatever you've learned. So my father wanted that I go and ground the kitabs very well. So anyways, whilst I was there, there was an old man regulating his namaz, tahajjud and all that. And because of his seniority, he wished to address him as Abba, you know, father. But just a day or so before he passed away, he's telling me in confidence, you know, when I was very young, I had a girlfriend, you know, that she was a Jew or she was a Christian. But if she was a Jew, I am a Jew. She is a Christian, then I am a Christian. So he was concealing this haram love in his heart, entertaining it. Right? And then this type of kufr just emerges right at that end, you see. Concealed it. When you conceal the thing, now it had to surface at some point. At that point now it surfaced. How dangerous. See this eyes and that wrong relationship. And the wrong relationship, you are entertaining the thing. And then, at which time then, it surfaced at that time. So you will not say that he lost his iman at the end. No. It was lost, but it only surfaced there at the end. It only surfaced at the end. Otherwise, he lost his iman long before. Now we think, no, he lost his iman at the end. His iman wasn't lost at the end. No, it was lost, but this only became apparent to people at the end. This is what he was concealing, so the filth he was concealing. So I tell a lot of youngsters, because you're going to the secular schools, right? Co-ed and all that, and free life, free mixing. Right? And when there's free mixing, I know people, 72 years of age, they still think of the school days when Jamila was in the class. Hey, favorite one that was. Well, the haram thing, they entertaining that love, entertaining that thing in their hearts. And then that can be a catalyst for problems at the end. If I could have only got that one, what? All the type of thoughts, entertaining those thoughts. Entertaining. And on the one side, it is a stupid thing because you're not going to get her. Right? And now if you're 70, she must be a dadi, a great nani she must be. Dadi, can you get out of her? She's very cock all the time. Wearing, got 10 different type of tablets to take every day to meditate herself. She must have got a caregiver. So what are you going to do with it now? Days are over, finished. But now you're going to think about this, you're going to bring problems to yourself. You're not going to get her. And even if you get her, you can't do anything now. It expires. Past expiry date. See. So this haram lust sense is this passion. See, how much you must be careful about these two areas, tongue and the eye, all the time. Now, there's one, two things that we need to understand. Right? How can we be on the course? How can we remove, you know, as we spoke about now, that how you preserve. That's one thing. And the second thing is how can you remain on the course. So there's two things that our Buzugara didn't speak about. That how you can remain on the course. One is you maintain an affinity with the sheikh once a week, once in a fortnight, whatever, but maintain some taluk. Maintain some taluk. So what happens when you maintain a taluk? You begin to see your wrong. You get recharged. And that person that you're going to, he also makes dua for you. You're coming. So he also makes dua for you. You're getting a charge again. Otherwise you're not coming. It's out of sight. Out of mind class. So this one is that recharge. One is the ma'mula they give you. See, whatever ma'amulat, they ask you perhaps make the zikr, read this kitab at home, right? This namaz in this manner, do it, right? So whatever they prescribe for you, then maintain the thing. And you see, I explained how to maintain it. Easy way to maintain it is to tell yourself, you'll only eat after the ma'amulat is finished nicely. Nachinti, harethi. Do it nicely, and then you'll eat. And then you'll have even a drink. You won't have a drink, you won't have an eat, you know. And some people can be stubborn, you know. So use your stubbornness on yourself. can be stubborn, right? Arata, you know. Use that ar against yourself. I won't, you don't want to eat, you don't want to eat, you don't want to drink anything. Get this thing done nicely. Then I'll give you a drink, then I'll give you something to eat. You didn't get it? No, you're not having class. So one, two, three, you make a noise. Oh, you know, can't do it. The mind will make a noise, right? After that, you know, a pretty tamper, come right. For the first, second time, it'll give you a fight. But now, you're being stubborn now, and stubborn for the right reasons. Now, you'll have to give in. So that's the second thing. So the mamulat. It's nice, like if it's in an area, for example, someone is in Palok, for example, right? Or Overport. So there's about four or five people thinking the same way, all that. That they have one common time where they make the zikr. Okay. See this. Inna sakharna al-jibala ma'ahu yusabbihna bil-ashi wal-ishraq. Allah Ta'ala had made the mountains and the birds subservient to Dawud al-Islam. All in unison, they reading Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, not in chorus, but all together. How beautiful it is. Not in chorus, but all are praising Allah Ta'ala at the same time. So don't you get charged. You get a motivation, you get a drive. He's reading, you reading. And if you didn't come, what happened? So you feel ashamed. Hey, they keep your track on you, isn't it? So you want to come. So one common place where you can get together and make some zikr, some mamulat. So the mamulat is done, the zikr is done. In the meanwhile, what happens is, it may be this person got a lot of love for Allah Ta'ala. So his love is reflecting on you. He may have a lot of ikhlas. His ikhlas is rubbing onto you. He may have a lot of khidmat and ikram. His ikram is rubbing onto the rest. So you see the khubi, the goods, are all rubbing against each other. Their colors are rubbing, improving all the time. After all, for our worldly reasons, we can make parties and what. It's a bright leader. Madrasa boys, everybody was giving 30 rands, having a bright. Right. Everybody will look forward to it. Everybody will look forward to it, right? So same, if we can arrange that, alright, you know, if for friendship we can do things, then can't we do this as well? Or at this time, at this place here, it's easy for everybody to get there, right? So, like for example, Henry Road now, right? So, we'll get there, and we'll make half an hour or something of Mabula, Zikr and all that, and we'll leave. So, doesn't that create an atmosphere? People there, they get interested. You get charged. And you're good for that whole period, for the whole 24 hours, you're good. So that's the second thing I say. Third thing is, the Shaykh Rahman used to say, when he came, he also said the same thing, and in India also he should say the same thing. Maut ki yaad, or Durood Sharif ki kasrat. Maut ki yaad, or Durood Sharif ki kasrat. To remember death, see, because the surrounding is very deeni hostile, very hostile. Everything is aggressive, hunt you, attack you. Just leave the house, the phone, everything is hostile, want to attack you. So now the antidote is Maut ki yaad. You have just read that story here now, that in the old days, even these kings and monarchs used to meet the awliya, right? So this one king used to meet some Buzurg. The miles is there now. He's living on his own. Whatever. So whilst the king is there, he saw some type of a tablet, a herbal tablet. So the curiosity had the bet over him. He said, let me just take one. So he took one. That's like a 50 power, you know. All his four wives are finished. All the slave women, everything is finished. Energy is not just going down. So that doubt came in his mind. Ye buzurg tanha rehte hai, pata nahi kya karte hai. He's living all by himself, I know what he's doing. That type of energy, what's happening with this buzurganadi, today's buzurganadi. So anyway, the king now, as his routine, he came again. after a week or so. So the Buzurg, from his talk, he made out that something happened, because the tablet was missing, and the way he's carrying himself that day, you can see now some mysterious, he's being naughty now. So the Buzurg told him, you know what, I saw a dream, you know, and you just got 40 days left. I saw a dream, you just got 40 days. So they told Gabrak, you got Gabrak, what is going to happen? So I, you know, don't worry. See, I got this herbal tablets. So you do two things now. You see, you got a son, let him be the crown prince and train him. And number two is, see, this is an energizer, it will keep you energized also. So you won't lose your energy as well. So this king now is counting the days. You know, the boys and madrasa, they mark the calendar. One day. Second day, third day. So he's marking the calendar. One, coming 29, 30, 39. How? He's skipping a beat now. 39. Khalid or Khud, Allah Pagnam, advantage after. Tomorrow we're leaving. Anyway, it came to the 40th night, he's holding his breath. And you see, he passed that 40th day. Now the 42nd day came back to the king, and said, Buzurg, now, hey, you know what? You told me 40 days, and the game will be over, what happened? So the Buzurg asked him, but have you been taking the tablets? Yes. And in all these days, these 40 days, did you ever have any inclination towards your wife or anybody? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Total dried out. The Buzurg is saying, see, you are still suspended for 40 days. You have no inclination. I don't know that I'm going to live for the next second. My state is like this. I don't know I'm going to pull for the next second. And you, when you knew that for 40 days, still you're totally dried out. And me, I don't know. Live for the next second. So how you expect me to have that type of feelings? This is mot kiya, you see. Think about it. The mot kiya doesn't have to come in one stereotype manner. So look at it from different perspectives. One day you went for a janaza now. The ghusl, you went for the ghusl. Listen, I knew, man. Now see what state he is now. One day you went to the Qabristan. The Qabristan, I would say, now don't go to isolated places where you'll get yourself into difficulty. Or you're going with the group. But don't just speak, Qulwallah and all that, and go away. فَإِنَّا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. Sit there for 20 minutes. Think. What this person was and where is he now? What he was once upon a time. The type he was. The influence that he had. The cars that he should drive. The properties that he had. Now, what's happened to the person now? Kaha? Say kaha. From where to where? Where was he? And where is he now? So that's the most important thing the Qabristan is to think. To think, you know, where this person was and what's he now doing. فَإِنَّا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةَ. You know, I was explaining this to someone. When I just come new from India, you know. So I used to offer myself for this janaza and ghusl and all that. So one person passed away, and I think his wife had come to her mother's place. This person was alone in the house. It was December time, peak summer, very, very hot. And he's alone, and he died. Now nobody knows about him by passing away. So one day, second day, you know, closed house. Then someone felt a little bit suspicious, so they broke in, they pulled the body out. So they asked me to do the ghusl. Their own children didn't want to see the body. Stench, the whole thing was blue. You don't want to see the body. Wealth, like you can't dream about. You know, up till now, this is our two-year-old person. Up till now, just one child's monthly share, right? Monthly share is about I think 70,000 rands up till now from the temple. So much he had read. But just 2 days into death, and you don't want to see that thing that you had worked for, the material that you worked for, you know, that holiday, material, food, all that you worked for, the same physical thing that you worked for, and 2 days into death, you don't want to see it. See what's the value. So think about these things. Sometimes you went to a Kabristan, sometimes you went to a ghusl, sometimes you're thinking with your wife and children, your death, or this person here, where was he and where is he now? So it brings some sense to you. You don't live in a fool's paradise. You're living in a fool's paradise, that's a fool's paradise. You'll have to, that reality you have to face. And is it such an isolation? You're getting so frustrated with all this lockdown, right? But it's not a long period, and you're not totally locked, you still got some freedom. I look at the cover, from all sides you're locked in. From above, from beneath, from the sides, from front and beneath, from behind. You're locked complete. So, what have I done for the comfort of that place? Have I got an acorn for that place? Some friendship I got. Have I got some friendship to connect me, right? Have I got a contact with Kentucky to provide every now and then? So I must make all that arrangements. Yeah? All that arrangements. Hey, someone must bring the bride, you know, friends must come around. So all that. So it can happen. Allah can make it happen. But have I made that arrangements? Whilst I'm there, I'm getting serviced. Too hot, I got an aircon. Or it's too cold, I got a heater. Everything is too scratch. Have I made that arrangements? So Allah says, I can make all that for you. Everything I can make for you. Whatever you want, I can make it. But you make that arrangement. You work for it. So when you think like that, all that musty, you know, all additional things, all that extras in your life, all will just drop. You need to have this car, you need to go for that holiday, that woman, that whatever. All that extras will just fall away. Now you're thinking correctly and constructively. So this is what one of the advice that Sheikh gives generally. One is death. And on his Durood Sharif. For Durood Sharif, I say, for Allah's sake, buy that Fazail al-Durood. Buy that Fazail. If you can't make Talim of it every day, then at least once or twice in the week, on a Thursday or something, read the thing. Select it. The Talim must be done such that you read it properly. Like I said, Mullah is doing a good job in the morning. He's looking for articles and then giving it to us like he said, this is your problem today. Today's problem is addressing it. Alhamdulillah. Allah Baksa. So if you look for that article and talk to the children according to their ages, to the levels, boys, girls, talk to them. Because you can see that the mess they are in this environment they are in, and you have to give them something to survive, to hold on. For that, you have to prepare yourself. Don't just read randomly and finish. You prepare now. What's good for my children for this week? You check one article, this article, read this. Speak about it according to their ages, right? They understand. So now, tomorrow if you're doing a wrong, then they'll remind you. You're doing a wrong, they'll remind you. I don't know if it was your child, some child in our family. So about 34 years ago. So, someone had passed away, so they went to give the condolences. So they went with the children, all that. So in that house they had a television. So this child is saying the father. But I thought Shaitani boxed you, Shaitan boxed. It's in front of everybody. So the child reminds you. The child will remind you. You're teaching the child. So he's making ta'awanu bil birri wa taqwa. He's cooperating with you in good works. So you're talking to him about the harms, the wrongs, the goods, the virtues. He'll remind you. Mu'abbarah Sahib Rahmatullah says that this type of adab we teach to the children as well. So Mu'ana had a guest, and that guest is sitting with Mu'ana. Mu'ana's grandson pulled in. Child was about, must have been about 5 years. So Mehman was eating with the left. So Abba, Abba. So Shaitan to dana hath se khata hai, bai hath se khata hai. Shaitan is with the left, you know. See? So the child will remind you. The child will remind you if you teach him. If you teach him according to his age. Don't teach him something that he'll become too afraid. And not that he becomes totally casual. That Jannat is just a play, no. So a little bit of seed, slowly, slowly, bring the child up. But every day, that one dosage has to be given. Allah Baktawfiq Sikhar.